Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
so, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
We are live. This is Monday night. It is, of course, the Hour of Truth. Call us at 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. We've been sitting around here for a week now. Lisa and Kevin and I and anybody that cared to talk and anybody that cared to write, telling you our ideas of where we should go from here. We want to hear from you tonight. It is absolute open mic night at the Hour of Truth, and we want to hear from you folks out there where it is you think we should be going from here. Lisa's here tonight. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm still in a fog.
Still in a fog. Are you over the shell shock part of it yet?
No. Every time I think about all of the things that are going to happen over the next 4 years, I kind of go into convulsions. But I'm stuck. I need medication, I think.
Yeah. And let's review. You've had a couple of shows since the election. Now, where do you think we should go from here?
The word on the street is that it's going to become a more centralized, more individualized 10th Amendment states' rights battle. You know, we're going to uprise from the bottom. So,
right.
And it makes a lot of sense to do that. Probably easier to organize the troops on the ground than it is to try to do it, on a national level. So, just short of signing the request to secede from the Union, I think that's probably the best way to go. Have you seen those?
I have. Yes, what, 15 states or something? But now these are just petitions with several hundred to several tens of thousands of names on them, depending on what state you're from. They're not really legislative acts, and it's kind of scary there, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but it's only been a week, and then when you're watching all of the stuff with Petraeus over the weekend, and I mean, I'm still a treason person. I think that treason needs to enter into this situation here sometime soon. And if somebody doesn't introduce that concept to the legislature at some point in time, I'm going to be very upset because I think it should be looked at.
And when you say treasonous, you're talking specifically about the Benghazi incident.
Yeah.
And we had this discussion before, but it was treasonous or not, it was absolutely incompetent and unforgivable. Well, obviously not unforgivable for the majority of the American people, but unforgivable from the standpoint of what the commander-in-chief of the armed forces and the leader of the free world is supposed to do.
Unforgivable to me.
Yep. So there we go with that part of it. Now, We are a week removed, as we said. Well, tomorrow will be a week removed from it. I think it's becoming ever more apparent to me. I thought it would go one way or the other after the election, but it's becoming more apparent to me, Lisa, that the Republican Party's done.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've come up with as well. I mean, I think people have just had it with the treasonous, Republican Party standards. They have totally sold their folks up the river and not been representing their best interests and only advocating for their own benefit, and it's time for them to go.
Right, and that might very well be. Herman Cain, of course, made a big uh, a big to-do this week about the fact that in his mind it is time for a strong third party to emerge. You'd have 4 years to work on that. I don't see that doable in 4 years, do you?
You know, under the right circumstances, I could see it work.
And what would that part? You know, my assessment that the Republican Party is finished comes from this. It really is two parties. I mean, the Republican Party right now is two parties. There are two ideologies fighting over the name "We Are the Republican Party," aren't there?
Well, you know, I don't know if I would agree with that anymore. Maybe in the beginning I would have agreed with that, but really the Republican Party does not stand for conservatism. And I think with the rise of the Tea Party, I think the Tea Party folks have tried to identify with the Republicans, you know, because of that. They're trying to find that conservative moniker. They didn't find it in the Republican Party, so I think that you're going to see a mass exodus of the Tea Party. And the Republicans actually, they struck out at the Tea Party during this election cycle and tried to disenfranchise them. So, I mean, you know, it was very apparent with many of the races, especially here in Missouri. We saw how that was handled. And so I think what you're going to see is the Tea Party is going to leave the Republican Party en masse. And, you know, it would take heaven and earth to be moved. But I think a third party could pretty well emerge in some shape or form if all the planets align correctly.
Well, and I have to disagree with that. I think the Tea Party is also two different parties right now, and they are split just about the same line that the Republican Party, in my mind, is split. And you've got, when I say the Republican Party is two different parties, I'm talking about one group that says what you said. We two groups, both of who say we need to get more conservative, but both who believe that they own the word conservative, and the other half of the Republican Party has lost track of what that means. I've got one group here that is substantially large, a substantially large group, and many of the members of this group are in the Tea Party, or Tea Party, quote-unquote. And they say, we've got to absolutely get back to this life and morality and theocracy issue. That is our base. That is what conservatism is. It is about we are a Christian nation, and we need to lead this country back to salvation. And then you've got another part, which I think is probably near half of the Republican Party and half of the quote-unquote Tea Party that says, let's be more conservative. Let's leave the damn religion alone. Let's leave the abortion alone. Let's leave the gay rights alone. Let's talk about fiscal responsibility. Let's talk about personal responsibility and leave that other stuff alone that's killing us. And I see that as the two parties that are tearing the word Republican apart.
Now, see, I don't see it that way. The way I see the Republican Party is I see the two factions that you think are divided in the Tea Party. I see them more cohesive. And then you have the old guard Republican Party that will follow anything with an R behind its name, that is just loyal to the Republican Party for no rational reason. And I think there's a lot of people like that floating around, that they will not leave the Republican Party for anything, because Republican Party, I mean, it's in their genes. They're just not going to they're not going to walk away from that R. And then anyone else, the more conservative-minded constitutionalists, conservative values, social and fiscal, I see as another united group. And while they may disagree on social issues here and there, you know, about what should propel politics, I see them uniting and leaving the Republican Party en masse.
So you think the Republican Party then is going to throw the Christian conservatives overboard?
Yeah.
Okay. And that will be the salvation.
There you have, don't you?
Oh, absolutely not. Oh, absolutely not. No, I don't think so at all. Paul Ryan was a hardcore Christian conservative. The life and the marriage issues were part of the platform.
Well, you know, I think that they I don't know. Yeah, okay, so here's the deal with that. I think that they I think they have used the far right wing base to get, you know, to justify the means, the ends justify the means. I don't think that they care one way or another. But I'm talking about establishment Republican Party, Karl Rove.
Okay, yeah, know, right. Roy Blunt.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think they really give a rat's patootie about those conservative values. I think they just use that to pander to that base to get that support. But they don't do anything to support that, really. They don't do anything to support those values in the legislature. And when you're talking about fiscal conservatism, they're not doing anything to promote those values either in the legislature either.
No.
They cave on all the issues. I think what you're going to see is you're going to see those Christian conservatives and you're going to see those constitutionalists. I think you're going to see them all leave the Republican Party. And I think you're going to I think that those people are going to become more Tea Party, you know, find a little bit of a shelter in more of a Tea Party realm. And I think you're going to be left with establishment Republicans. And then you're going to have this other faction that's left the Tea Party or left the Republican Party. And I think they're going to pull out of that establishment realm and stop following that R blindly like they have for so long.
Well, I think you see a lot of that going on now. You know, there were almost 2.25 million less Republican votes in 2012 than in 2008. Now, both candidates' votes were down. We did not have, in fact, record turnouts. We had a much subdued electorate. Obama's electorate was as subdued as Romney's. It's just that in fact, he beat Romney by very little more than he beat McCain by.
You know, yeah. I am having a really hard time wrapping my head around the fact that the voter turnout is structured the way they're saying it's structured. I just am having a really hard time with it. I don't understand. I don't know that I completely believe. I mean, I understand the voter turnout was down. I think it was down because those people were not voting for Obama that voted for him in 2008. In 2008, he generated a huge, huge, huge turnout of people that don't normally vote. The youth vote was huge. I think he had a lot of other demographics wrapped up. I think a lot of those people did not come out for him. I think if a few more people challenged the voting results, like Alan West did in Florida, I think they might find some different. I think they might find some different outcomes.
Oh, I think they might, but I don't think they would find an overall different outcome. I believe that the Democrats had a better ground game. I believe they had a better handle on what the reality of the polls was from the beginning than we did. I believe that I'm telling you what I seriously believe, and I'm still reading this from some of our mutual friends. You know, I thought you guys said you could do it without the Ron Paul supporters. I mean, you know, these people who are Republicans and or constitutionalists and or libertarian and or conservative who said we're done with the best of two evils and one's just as bad as the other or they're both the same and stayed home. They cost this election, you know, and you might be done with the best of two evils, but clearly you don't mind Barack Obama if you just stayed home. You don't mind.
Well, you know, that's what's wrong with the Libertarian Party is I think that you have that crazy faction out there. I mean, they did cost us the election in some respects, and they'll never get the support of the radical, you know, this new conservative movement under those circumstances. That's their radical. They're too. I don't want to use the word idealistic, but I can't think of a better word at the moment. You know, it was absolutely insane. That was just absolutely insane play that they made. That they refused the lesser of two evils issue. I mean, none of us thought that Romney was the savior for the problems that we have today. But you know, we are about to enter into a world that our generation has never seen. It's going to get so bad in the next 4 years, and it's going to be because Barack Obama is the president. We're plummeting into the deep, dark hole of socialism. We're going to lose our money. We're going to lose our jobs, and more than we have now. It's just, it's going to be ridiculous. And to have a faction out there to take a stand that I'm not going to vote for the lesser of two evils is just absurd. And they're not receive the they're not going to receive the support of a new and burgeoning political faction when they take that stand. It's just insane.
Well, yeah, and I agree with you to an extent, but we cannot blame this on the Libertarian Party. I mean, if it was just libertarians, and no, I'm agreeing with you, the Libertarian Party, and I'm libertarian, and I keep saying I'm not a member of the Libertarian Party, the Libertarian Party, quote-unquote, is a bunch of crackpots. But the Libertarian Party, they voted for Johnson. I mean, and Johnson did not get enough votes to make a difference. Johnson did not get enough votes. He did not get half as many votes as Republicans who did not vote for Romney, who just didn't vote. It's the Michelle Bachmann. It's the you know, you and I could say some, you know, you and I could just spit out some names of people here we know personally who said, yeah, I'm a Republican. I've been a Republican all my life, but I'm not voting for this guy. He created Obamacare. He was in favor of TARP. He's just the same. What's the difference? He's just the same as Obama. I'm not going there anymore.
Do we have concrete evidence that that's how it really went? Because I am still having a really hard time, like I said, wrapping my head around that Republicans would not vote for Romney, that they would go ahead and let Barack Obama win the election.
Two and a half million people who said in the exit polls that they were Republican did not vote for Romney.
Okay. I'm in denial. I am in denial. I'm having a really hard time trying to understand the outcome of this. I mean, I can't believe that people are that stupid. I mean, really,
well,
it's stupid.
You and I talk to them every day, Lisa. I mean, you know,
it's just plain out stupidity that they would vote, because I mean, we are about to enter into a world that none of us have ever dreamed about living in.
I know you were there with me several times when you and I had this conversation with people before the election, running right up to the election. I mean, I always thought right up to the election. I mean, that those people would come over and see that there is a, you know, while there may be some characteristics between these two clowns that are the same, there are vast, vast differences, and that to not vote for Romney is to say, okay, I'm okay with Obama. I don't go along with the argument if you don't vote for Romney, you're voting for Obama. No, the only way you can vote for Obama is go put a checkbox in the Obama block. But to not vote for Romney means I don't mind Obama. Obama's perfectly all right with me.
Oh, no. If you didn't vote for Romney, you absolutely did vote for Obama, because that whole third party thing in this election absolutely held true. If you didn't vote for Romney, that was casting a vote for Obama, and splitting the vote that way absolutely put more juice in Obama's engine. Absolutely.
Well, okay. So Lisa, in your mind now, what do we do?
Well, you know, I mean, I've been kind of stumbling around and, you know, reading the blogs and maybe the consensus seems to be, you know, 10th Amendment, pull it in statewide. The state sovereignty issues are coming up. You know, get local with it and rise from the local areas and fight it that way. Makes a lot of sense. Probably should have done it that way a long time ago.
Well, you know, I mean, that's where Missouri Grassroots Coalition started a year ago.
Yes, absolutely. And now maybe people will start understanding the importance of the state power.
Yeah, absolutely. This might be an appropriate time to get Lloyd Sloan back again to talk about this state repeal amendment. That's an excellent thing that someone who wanted to start an alternative party or break away from the establishment, you know, and what I would like to see, Lisa, is, and I'm getting ready to wander off again here and chase rabbits, but I would like, instead of a third, and I don't want to say third party because there's already about five, instead of a viable alternative party, I would rather see more of the electorate come to where I am. And that is, I'm not in a party. You know, I'll look at these people on the stage and I'll say, this is the person who most represents what I believe in. And that, you know, that might be a person in some third or alternative party. It might be a Republican.
I think that's what you're going to get now. I think that people are going to be leaving the Republican Party and kind of floundering around out there as, quote, unquote, independents.
Yeah.
Because the Republican Party is not representing them, and people pretty much understand the Republican Party has become like the Democratic Party. They're just interested in representing their own special interests, and they don't care about the people. So I think you're going to find a lot of people are out there like that.
Now, see, what that's going to do is one of two things. It is either going to drive both parties farther to the extremes, because what you have now is, and you and I know that in this country there are basically the same amount of registered Republicans as registered Democrats, and that for the last century elections have been decided by that 14% independent. And so if you grow that 14% independent to 28 or 30 or 35%, and there remain the same amount of Democrats and Republicans registered, you're either going to drive these both to the extremes, farther to the extremes in a chance to win these independents who are now half of the voting population, or you're going to drive them back toward the middle in an attempt to win back this independent population.
I'm not so sure. I don't think that you can drive the Republican Party to an extreme right. I think that they have shown themselves to be so corrupt. I think if they stood on their head and spit nickels at you at this point, I don't think anybody would pay attention.
Oh, I bet if they spit nickels at you, a lot of people would vote for them.
Well, there you go. I think a lot of people are kind of done with the Republican Party. I think they've lost. I think that they're going to. I think they're going to die a slow death here over the next couple of years. And
yeah.
I think there's a lot of people who are looking for something better.
Yeah. The thing that is scary is
we need
that
the emergence of a third party candidate or an outside independent candidate to help drive the stake into the heart of the Republican Party.
Yeah. Now that. I will definitely go along with you there. I will definitely say that some sort of organized alternative party would certainly accomplish that. I mean, it would certainly be the undoing. It would be the death of the Roy Blunts and the Mitch McConnells, and the John Boehners.
Yeah, definitely. And we need that.
Yeah.
We absolutely need that.
Now, It is a little scary that would not give rise, in my eyes, to the Michelle Bachmanns and the Rick Santorums.
I don't know. Don't you kind of think that some of those people would gravitate and abdicate their Republicanism for support if they thought the support was worthy elsewhere?
No. I think that those are the people who are absolutely, absolutely onward Christian soldiers. This is the way it's going to be, and I'm not moving from this position for anyone.
I don't know.
Now, and this may be exactly what I started off talking about. You may see an organized third party. Call it libertarian. Call it constitutionalist. Call it Tea Party, if you want, come on with a more constitutional approach, a more what is really conservative approach than the theocrats, really what is more of a personal responsibility approach, the Tea Party approach. And if that group rises, that would kill the current Republican Party, which is a mamby-pamby, really we don't believe in shit party. And then your third party would be the far right of the Republican Party, which is powerful, which is strong, which has a lot of followers. You and I have good friends who are in that party. But that might be your three parties. It might be this faction of what is now the Republican Party that says, leave that stuff alone. We need to coalesce around the Constitution. You know, the Ron Paul plus strong, you know, I could go Ron Paul plus strong national defense.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a conservative approach. And then you know, and then what you'll have is you will still have a formidable size of people over here who would put Michelle Bachmann up. Because there's no way she goes with any kind of a party that doesn't make anti-choice a high point in the platform.
Oh no, I don't agree.
I think we're going to get
to the point, and I hope we get there soon. You know, the people start figuring out that you got to stop trying to legislate morality. You know, I think that if there was support for it too, I think some of these people like Michelle Bachmann and Rick Santorum would, you know, while they maintain their constitution or while they maintain their high standard principles for life, you know, they would stop focusing on it as a legislative issue and start focusing, you know, all of their energies on constitutional issues.
Right.
You know, I mean, they can still espouse their priorities for life, and that would be fine. And I don't think anybody would have a problem with that.
I do.
Oh, I think if they thought that the support was out there for it, I think they would follow it.
Oh, I think people would have a problem with them even espousing it. Even, you know, well, Rick Santorum said it. Rick Santorum said, this is what I believe. It's not what I would legislate. It's not what I would ever be in favor of legislating. And the left just absolutely smashed him. I mean, you can't even say hardly that you're a Christian and make it in this country anymore.
Well, that's why I think the Republican Party is going to divide, because I think that there are going to be a lot of Tea Party type people who are going to leave the Republican Party because, you know, that's just a losing battle.
Well, yeah,
that kind of morality and trying to get on board with those kinds of things. So I think that'll be an issue where the Republican Party, you know, or the Tea Party types leave the Republican Party over those issues.
Right.
And I believe that Rick Santorum would be one of those people.
You
could be pro-life but still be elected on, you know, issues of good fiscal conservatism and responsibility. You know, I think
as long as you are willing to answer the questions, you know, that jackass puts up,
Jaco?
Yeah. None of that matters. You know, what I believe on that doesn't matter because that's not part of the government. And then leave it alone and never go back to it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because the left is not going to let that alone. The left is obsessed with abortion. The left is obsessed with gay rights. They keep pointing the fingers at the right and saying, look, they're obsessed with this stuff. They're obsessed with it. I think one of the things that lost this thing, absolutely lost this election for the Republicans, goes all the way back to January, and or even before that. It goes back to last October when the Republicans agreed to this god-awful number of debates. You remember that? With that, and then agreed that every one of them could be moderated by someone who was so obsessed with friggin' abortion and gay rights that was the 90% metric in the whole damn debate.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, the Republicans needed to have those number of debates, but they needed to be saying to the Presidential Debate Committee, no. No, we're not doing that. Nobody's showing up for that debate because you need to pick somebody who is fair and balanced, period.
Well, there is no such person in the liberal left-wing media.
Okay.
I mean, you're just not going to find anybody like
that.
That's just not how it works. But, I agree. Until you get the only reason that government is wound up with the life issue, abortion.
Right.
It's because that there is a conservative Christian base who has abdicated their responsibility to promote that within their own community, and they've become like the left and look to the government to solve their problems for them instead of promoting that strong character value in their community. It's the only reason that it's infiltrated the government so much is because they couldn't maintain that character base in their community. They started looking to the government to take care of that for them.
Well,
and until they go back to promoting that strong character in their community and in their churches and in, you know, their daily lives, it's going to be a loser.
That's right. You know, and that is exactly the same thing. We've been sitting here in the quote-unquote conservative arena for a long time, pointing our fingers over there at those clowns on the left saying, you know, you're trying to get the government to do your Christian – you're trying to pay the government to do your Christian duty for you. You know, you can come back from the polls all you want to and say, I voted my Christian conscience because hungry people don't need to be hungry in America and sick people don't need to be sick in America. And that's what Jesus said. And so I'm a Christian because I voted. No, you're not. You're trying to pay somebody to do your Christian duty. I'll give you your damn tax money back and you go down to the kitchen. You buy some soup. You ladle it out. You go next door. You give the poor unemployed guy this money that you've got back from the government. You get out there in the damn gutter and you start dealing with these winos yourself, because that's your Christian duty. It isn't to go vote for somebody else, you know, to do your Christian duty for you. Well, that's great, you know, that we can sit over here and say that to those people, and rightly so. But the conservatives better look at that, you know, one finger pointed at them, four fingers pointed back at me, because, my God, they're trying to pay somebody to do their Christian duty as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you stop abortions and you stop gay rights. You stop those in the playground and on the street and in the gutter and down at the soup kitchen and in the grocery store and at the PTA meeting. You know, you don't stop them in Washington, D.C.
Yep, or Jefferson City.
That's right. That's right. So yeah, you know, I think we're in agreement. I think we're headed for three parties. We may disagree a little bit on how quickly that comes about. I'm not sure that the structure necessary to launch a viable candidate gets done. Now, I do think a Republican wins in 4 years, and I hope to God. Now here's where I say this is where I disagree with almost all of my friends, and that is what we need to do right now is just quit. We need to stand back. We need to let Boehner give the farm away. We need to hold on to our values. We need to hold on to our conservative principles because this country is coming back to us. This thing, we know this thing's going to fail. We know it's going to fail. We know Barack Obama is going to be back in 6 months for a higher debt ceiling. We know he's going to be back a year after that for another lift in the debt ceiling. We know the dollar is going to be worthless in 18 months. We know people are going to die for lack of health care under Obamacare. We know that unemployment is going to skyrocket because of Obamacare. We're seeing it now. We know that underemployment is going to skyrocket. We know that people are going to sink farther and farther into poverty because of socialism. History says it. Math says it. What's going on in the world around us right now says it. We know it's going to happen. So what scares me most about the fact that it's going to happen is we get somebody, and listen, listen, brothers and sisters, this does not mean that I think it's okay to do any of this stuff. But the worst thing that can happen right now is to put up too big a fight to what the American people clearly said they want, you know, and then 4 years from now, when the whole thing is tumbling down, have them be able to say, well, it was those damned obstructionist Republicans, you know, don't say that won't work because they blamed George Bush. They blamed the obstructionist Republicans. I mean, they had the whole damned government for 2 years, and they got away with blaming us. So, I mean, it scares me that we're going to put up just enough of a fight, not enough fight to stop it. It'll still go, but we'll have made just enough noise that they can then blame us for everything that goes wrong.
Well, I mean, I don't think you're ever going to take away the blame game, regardless of if you quit or not. I mean, if you quit, they'll find a way to blame us for quitting. I mean, it's just, you know, they're not, nobody's going to take responsibility for everything going up in flames.
Well, no, but he won't be able to blame us. He won't be able to blame us because we will
blame him for 4 years, and Bush didn't have anything to do with it. I mean, they will blame you. They'll lie about it, but they'll blame you.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people out there stupid enough to believe it.
Well, that may well be. That may well be. Well, yeah, the fact that we were even just there, I guess, probably is enough. And then I guess you can always have enough hurricanes and tsunamis in Japan and Arab Springs to blame.
I mean, you know, they're blaming those things on climate, on the weather. And I mean, my God, you will never get rid of the blame game. You'll never get rid of it.
Well, yeah, you might be right. You might be right. Okay, we're going to come back in a little bit.
I want you to put that on a loop and play it on the radio. That you might be right. You might be right.
Oh yeah. Okay, I'll do that. I promise I will. You might be right. Every time you're right, I'll play that. Maybe I don't need to put it on a loop at all.
The problem is that the way Bush has done it over the last 8 years is to take out a credit card from the Bank of China in the name of our children, driving up our national debt from $5 trillion for the first 42 presidents. Number 43 added $4 trillion by his lonesome, so that we now have over $9 trillion of debt that we are going to have to pay back. $30,000 for every man, woman, and child. That's irresponsible. It's unpatriotic.
George Bush added $4 trillion in 8 years, and that was his fault. Barack Obama added $9 trillion in four years, and that was Bush's fault, too.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to keep playing that. Now, I know that was a piece of campaign clip there that we were trying to use before the election to show you folks some truth here, and you didn't buy it then. I'm going to keep playing this because this clown is going to be back begging you for more debt in before the end of the first quarter, begging you for another $6-7 trillion in debt. And I want that to be foremost in your mind that 6 months or a year or 2 years from now, when this guy is asking for his $22 trillion debt deal, that it is no longer really Bush's fault that this unpatriotic thing is going on. Lisa and I are going to take a quick break because we're out of breath. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about some more Missouri stuff.
Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty or give me death.
Yes, that's it. Absolutely it. You've got people in this country right now saying, give me the chains of tyranny or give me death. Honest to God, Lisa.
I don't know, Dave. I think people don't get it. I think we've kind of hit that apathy-ish place. I posted something on my Facebook a couple of days ago, about the stages of the Athenian government.
Right, yeah.
We're in that apathy stage. I don't think they believe it's tyranny. They just haven't felt it yet, so they don't know what it is.
That's right. And part of the problem, Lisa, is our history. There is no one alive today. No one alive. My dad is still alive, and I'm an old man. Okay, there is no one alive today who has lived in a free market economy. Now it's been getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Just during yours and my lifetime, it's gotten incredibly bad. It's gone from bad to incredibly bad. But beginning after the Great Depression, during the Great Depression, before that, into the Progressive Era, we did not have. Since then, we have not had a total free market economy. Now we had controlled capitalism for a good number of years, probably until the Great Society of Lyndon Baines Johnson, when things really, really started on a slide. And you know, one of the things that, and I'm getting ready to wander here and chase rabbits again. One of the things that we conservative, libertarian, Republican, whatever we want to call ourselves individually, but as a group, constitutional believers in the Constitution, one of the things we have to be very careful of is this term fiscal cliff, because that's the term that if we're not careful with how we use it, can easily be used again. I mean, the fiscal cliff is what Barack Obama talks about when he stands up there and says, we need more money or people aren't good, you know, or we're done, we're doomed. The fiscal cliff is what the Democrats in Congress are talking about now when they say we need to tax the rich more. You know, we are really on a very steep grade, but it is a downhill slide. It's taken us about 100 years to get here. We didn't fall off of a cliff. We are nearing the bottom of the hill. But it is not a cliff, and it is not something, regardless of how close we get to the bottom, that we cannot turn around and get back up. It's a very steep hill. The farther we go down the hill, folks, the more pain. You know, we probably missed our last chance to reverse this thing with minimal pain. It's going to be incredibly painful to save this country now. I mean, we may well be talking about near starvation for some groups of people. We may well be talking about some really bad situations because we didn't heed the warning when we should have. But we can get there. We can get back to the top, and it's not impossible. It's going to be very painful. It's not a cliff that we can't get back up once we get down. It's a very steep hill. We've been on it for 100 years. We're getting close to the bottom, but sometimes you gotta hit bottom before you can come back up. That was a wandering by me, and I forgot where I was when I started on that. But anyway, what are we going to do now next in Missouri, Lisa? We had a pretty good. I mean, yeah, we mourn the loss of most of the state seats, the state administrative seats, but the power of our state still lies in the legislative body. The legislative body is veto-proof Republican. How do we hold that body responsible? I mean, we saw what happened last legislative session. Where do we go now with the legislators headed to work here in another month and a half?
Well, you know, it's going to be very entertaining, I think, because, you know, speaking of blame game, okay, we have had a Republican legislature for quite some time now, and they've just done an abysmal job of representing the people and representing conservative values. And they've always blamed it on the Democratic governor. Well, now they have a veto-proof legislature. So I can't wait to see how they dance around this fact that they're veto-proof when they have consistently done some ridiculously left-wing, crazy legislative things in the last couple of years, even sent bills to the governor that the Democratic governor has vetoed. I can't wait to see how they behave. It's going to be like watching cats dancing on a hot tin roof. They're not going to know what to do.
Yeah, and go ahead.
I think the Patriot Uprising is only going to gather some steam, and if it's a 10th Amendment lifestyle that our focus that's going to gain steam here, they are really going to be between a rock and a hard place, because they're going the Patriots and the citizens. You know, that movement's going to be spreading, and they're going to be watching to see how they behave. And if they don't consistently come across with conservative viewpoints and conservative values, they're going to be in a world of hurt. They're not going to have anybody to blame it on if things don't work out for them.
Well, I can't say I don't agree. And what you meant when you said a Democratic governor vetoing legislation, what you meant was a Democratic governor rightly vetoing some legislation. Because he had it more right than they did on what the Constitution doesn't and doesn't allow. Now, that's rare. That's rare. We do have a Democratic governor who is a hardcore liberal and who thinks just like most of his friends that government is the answer to everything. But in one or two cases that we can name here, he did actually have it constitutionally more correct than the legislature. Someone asked what I thought was a good question today, and I forget who it was, but we have a group who's a very close partner with us of the Locke and Smith Foundation, used to be the Young Conservatives of America, who look at every third read and passed piece of legislation and gives us a scorecard at the end of the session as to, you know, who is constitutional and who is not constitutional, and that's a great group. But the question was asked, what are you doing before the stuff is passed? I mean, it's great to be able to look at a voting guide at the end of the session and say, okay, this guy blew it and this guy didn't. But what are you doing before the thing starts to keep Engler's drug bill from even making it out of committee?
Well, you know, and I think that's going to be the entertaining part of this whole deal. And I was going to talk about this Wednesday on the show too.
Good.
You know, we just went through an incredible election process, and I went to candidate forums and meetings where I listened to people campaign, and I really didn't hear anything coming from these candidates that remotely sounded like they wanted to go to Jefferson City to shrink government. That never was, nobody ever talked about that I heard of when I was, you know, in my area. I want to go to Jefferson City to change the way business is done there. None of that attitude ever came out. Most of what I heard was the same kind of talking points, canned speech talking points that you always hear, and, you know, that are supposed to be, that makes Republican bobbleheads go up and down, you know, in agreement. Nobody thinking outside the box to do the right thing, to bring the power back to the states. And I think that with the coming of the new legislative session, again, I think we're going to, it's going to be that's the entertaining part. We're not going to see any of that situation go on there, especially with the leadership that we've got there in Jefferson City. It's as usual. What's so funny?
I was just I'm sorry. I should have muted my microphone. When you said that, I was just thinking we had talked last time we had an executive committee meeting about some ways that we could raise money, and I was just thinking maybe a Tim Jones and a Kevin Engler bobblehead doll.
That would be great. Really, I mean, think about it. It's the bobblehead mentality. Yeah. Any of the legislators, we're sending a whole new crew of legislators to Jefferson City to go there and be bobbleheads, you know, and to continue with status quo establishment, establishment principles as usual. There's nobody's going there to change anything.
Okay, well, let's just get specific about something that's near and dear to your heart. You know, Tim Jones is going up there as the education speaker. Just tell us right now. I mean, you're a homeschool mom, so we all know that for you, basically, the answer is get the hell out of the way and leave me alone. Let me educate my kids. But for the parent who sends their kids to public school, Lisa, what's the answer?
You know, it is so simple. And here's the reason why you have not had effective education reform. Because most parents do not want to take responsibility for educating their kids. They want to put their kid on the yellow school bus and be done with it. And they'll pay. They'll pay a lot of money. They'll pay taxes in to do that. Most people do not really care about being responsible for the education of their kids. They're pretty happy to abdicate that responsibility. I'm even talking about conservatives. Most people don't want to have to deal with that. And so you've got Republican legislators pushing left-wing reform policies, which are basically nothing but tax generators, and they do nothing to educate kids, does nothing to help the status quo, raise test scores, nothing. The answer is very simple, Dave. People have got to stop letting the state educate their kids. They've got to get involved. If you want to have your kids in an institutional school, you've got to be involved and engaged. You can't just put your kid on the yellow bus and wave goodbye to them in the morning. You've got to be up there in their face. You've got to be looking at the curriculums. You've got to be attending the parent-teacher conferences. You've got to be insisting that, you know, your child with poor reading skills but high math skills get some special attention. They can structure a school day to do that. They used to do it when you and I were in school.
Yes. Huh? So now is the average so this parent now who puts their child on the yellow school bus and send them to school, because this is important to know to put our finger on whether this is a question of apathy or whether it's a question of politics. Does the average parent not know that their fifth grader doesn't have a clue what the Declaration of Independence is, or do they know and either not care or think it's okay that their fifth grader doesn't know what the Declaration of Independence is?
Well, I think that a lot of parents just don't really care. I mean, I think that there are parents who do care out there, but I think for the majority of the people that have their kids in institutional schools, they don't know and they don't care.
So they
and they
well,
and
interesting
different. Enough. Most people will tell you too, and this is something that just has been it's been true for as long as I've been following education, and probably a lot longer. Most people will tell you that the state of public education in this country is deplorable. In this state, in their school district, even, it's deplorable. But their school is okay.
Well, yeah.
Pretty well.
Yeah.
So they've pretty much got their heads in the sand to the reality of what that situation is. And what that does then is it breeds a very ripe environment for the bacteria of politics and bloated bureaucracy to grow. Because when you don't have parents involved and engaged in their local schools, which is what you need for schools and children to succeed, you've got to have local control of your schools and get the state out of it as much as humanly possible. And I would like to see the government get out of schooling altogether. But if you don't localize that as much as possible, then you breed bacteria for bloated bureaucracy and politics to grow in your schools.
Okay, but I guess what I'm asking you, Lisa, is this. I'm an average parent. I put my kid on the school bus, and I send him to school. I think that education in the state of Missouri sucks. Nationally, it sucks worse. In my city, it sucks, but my school is just fine. Now, do I just not realize that 50% of the kids at my kid's school are reading two grades below their grade level, or do I know that that's a fact and I just think that's a good school?
I'm thinking that you probably don't realize. If it's not your kid, you're not really looking beyond what's going on with your kid. And unless you've actually tried to go to the school and get services for your kid, you don't really realize how the bureaucracy works either.
Right.
So if your kid is getting by, and another thing, too, that they've been successful in doing is they've dumbed down the achievement scores.
True.
So your kid, your fifth grader could be reading at a third grade level and be getting an A in reading.
Yeah, that's right. Or he could be reading at a fifth grade level, which was a third grade level when you and I went to school.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely correct. And I've got grandkids in the school, so I know that is true. I mean, I know that what they are doing right now in the seventh grade is stuff that we were doing in the fifth.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that they don't know what the Declaration of Independence is.
No.
And
the sad thing about it is this is going to be a national, I mean, it is a national epidemic already, but now our kids are going to be nationally incompetent because we've got Common Core standards that come down from on high of the federal government, so they're all going to be in the same sinking ship at the same rate because of the federal government's, all schools across the country are going to be doing the same thing at the same time.
Even parochial schools and as much as they can control at home schools.
Yeah, they're trying to get the nose under the tent, of private and homeschooling, and they'll succeed.
What do we do about these homeschool kids, Lisa, that need to get into college and are going to have trouble with ACT?
They're going to have trouble because the president of the college board was the architect for the Common Core. And if you cannot pass the college board tests, which are going to be structured under the Common Core, you're going to have trouble. So, 52%, I was speaking to the Pachyderm Club here in St. Charles County on Friday, 52% of the state budget goes to education K-20. And, we were debating this cigarette tax,
right.
Bill. And, people are always wanting to pump more money into education. And we've already got 52% of our budget going to education. So you just kind of have to wonder, how engaged are folks? I mean, I study it, so I know a little bit more than the average bear. Most people don't dive into it as deeply as I do, but you kind of have to wonder, people do have to, they do have to look at their property tax bills at the end of the year. They do see how much money goes into education every year, and yet they're still willing to pump more money into it. So, yeah, how engaged are they? That's the $64,000 question.
Well, to the average person, I guess pumping more money into it is...
It's easier than actually taking care of business and requiring that your child learns the preamble to the Constitution or, understands American history to the extent that they should or, people are more worried about getting themselves off to work because we have two parent working households, and they need that. They need that public school as their daycare center.
Yeah, I'm afraid to some extent. I'm really afraid to some extent that might be right for the majority. Now, I wonder.
The reality is you cannot let you cannot trust a Republican legislature to solve the educational reform issues because the educational reform issues that they've put up to this point are all the left wing educational reform issues from years and years previous. They're interested in maintaining that money base coming in. What they're proposing will only well, you know, it'll be repackaged, but it's only more of the same old stuff. The only way that you can ever solve the education problem is to get involved. You have to push it local. You have to get involved in your local school and your local school district and your classroom with your children's classroom teachers. You've got to get involved. You've got to quit just putting your kid on the bus and waving goodbye to him in the morning.
So basically, then, there's no real help for this problem from the government at all. There's nothing the government can do right or wrong here. It really is not going to fix until American parents fix it.
Right. The government, when has the government ever done anything that works?
Well, I mean, yep, the government is required by Constitution in the state of Missouri to provide education.
Yeah.
So what we're saying then is that
change it.
Oh, change the Constitution?
Yeah. They try to change it all the time for all kinds of issues.
So there would be no more public education at all?
Well, ultimately if you want education that works for your kids, you have to get the government out of it. Are we ever going to see that? No, I don't think we'll ever see that. But I think that that's the answer.
Well, okay. That's our final word on anything politics tonight. Now we're going to talk a little bit about something closer to mine and Lisa's heart, and that is Secret Santa. We are ever so close, Lisa, to our goal on Secret Santa, of our goal of $500, you know, which is twice what we did last year, and we're really close. We'd like to help four families out this year. What we do is, of course, we just go out on Christmas Eve when it's late enough that we are pretty sure that the families that we look to help are not going to be helped. We're pretty sure that they're at their fiscal cliff, I guess, if you want to say. And we find four or however many we can afford layaways with toys in them that have not been paid off and will not be paid off by Christmas morning. And we pay those off, and we get those toys to those children and get them under their tree for Christmas morning. Oh, it's really a great program. It really is. And we had good luck with this last year. We don't ask people's politics. We don't ask why they're financially strapped. We don't even have contact with the people. That is not important. What is important is those kids getting those toys by Christmas morning. And it's a great thing. So, Lisa, we've had some real good response here just in the last week on this.
Very good. You think about it. You know, we're about to enter the holiday season, and think about just if you could be a fly on the wall on a Christmas morning, you know, waking up to a family who's, I mean, times have been tough. This has been a tough year for some folks, you know, and some kids getting up on Christmas morning without any presents under the tree. How sad is that? When a few dollars would solve that problem.
Absolutely. And so, look, folks, all we need to reach our goal is for, you know, 25, 30 people more to go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Spell that all out in one word, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. And click on the Secret Santa button. You'll find it in the top there. Please, tonight, do it tonight. You'll forget. If you say, I'm going to do that tomorrow, you'll forget. Things will come up. This isn't the most important thing to you, I know. But it is the most important thing to some families in your state who won't have anything on Christmas morning except for your help. So please do it. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org tonight. Click on the Secret Santa button in the top menu there. Use PayPal to send us $2, $3, $10, $15. We won't turn down $100. Please, this is an incredibly important thing to do. Need to tell you, we are political. We do politics. This is so that makes your donation not tax deductible. So don't do it for that reason. Do it because we love America, and because we love America, we know and understand better than our friends on the left that helping our neighbors is our duty. It is our responsibility as freedom-loving Americans to not look, hey, if we can go out on Christmas Eve and find a family whose kids are not going to have toys on Christmas morning, what the hell good is all this government help, Lisa?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And pretty soon we're going to be precluded from charitable donations altogether. So do it while you can, folks. This is part of your freedom.
Absolutely. And, yeah, so that's it. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check on the Secret Santa button, go to PayPal, and give us $2, give us $5, give us whatever you can afford. I mean, I know it's hard. You know, every time you go into the store now, you walk past the red kettle. There's an angel tree down at your local box store. Your church is needing something to send Thanksgiving and then Christmas dinner. There's the little bucket on the counter at the convenience store for the local soup kitchen for a Thanksgiving Day meal. I know it's hard, but look, last week you were sending $20 to Todd Akin. You're not doing that anymore. Let's do something good with that, okay? The election's over. Your candidates aren't asking you for any more money. Send us a couple of bucks. Every penny that you send goes to this cause. There's no overhead here. Zero. Zilch. You find me a charity like that anywhere else in the United States of America where every penny you send, zero overhead, zero salary, zero advertising, zero operating budget, every penny goes to what you sent it in to do. Okay. What do you got coming up Wednesday for us, Lisa?
Oh, Wednesday. We've got more with Ray Cuneo on Agenda 21, and we're going to talk
right.
A little bit about you know, how elections have consequences and connect some of those dots. And if nothing good came of the election, we do have some good news. There are some very young people who are trying to forge ahead and spread the conservative values out into the culture. And we're going to talk to one such young man on Wednesday and talk about the problems that he's facing trying to do that.
Where's he trying to do it at, Lisa?
Well, we're trying not to identify him at this point. He's a young man that I ran into in some political realms in the region.
No, I didn't want to be specific. I mean, at his school, at his church, at his Boy Scout club.
At his school. Our time, yes.
So these are the public schools that think it's perfectly all right to have a gay club.
Right.
Yeah, not a conservative club. Okay. Well, that's good. Let's get some support down here for these kids. In fact, let's do this. I mean, Lisa and I were talking about this either last Wednesday or last Monday. I can't remember which, but you know, this is the key to winning this thing back. We were talking about storybooks for kids that teach kids the reality of what the United States of America has always been and should always be. We were talking about how to get the young people educated. I mean, these are young people who all of their lives, their parents don't even get it. Their parents don't even understand what conservatism is about. So this is the kind of group we need to get behind that we need to push. Lisa's losing her battery over there, so we're going to wrap up here. Kevin is on Thursday night. I haven't talked to Kevin, so I don't know what's in store there. Lisa, will you be here Friday?
I'm hoping to be here Friday. So far,
okay.
Looks good.
Friday Night Roundtable looks good. We're going to have Teresa Kessler Stone, we hope, and I'm working hard, Lisa, to get the bishop of the local diocese in here. We'd really like to talk about what went wrong with the Catholic vote. 45% of the people who answered in exit polls that they were Catholic voted for Barack Obama, and we'd like to really find out what went on there. So that's it. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio. You've been listening to the Hour of Truth. Join us Wednesday for the Culture Vigilante with Lisa. Join us Thursday for Hillbilly Logic with Kevin. We'll be back Friday for the Roundtable. I'll see you next Monday. Have a great night, folks. We love you all.
God bless God. Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.